Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to Dazzle Radio. I'm your host, April Reynolds. I'm an Amazon best-selling author, book coach, and book editor, as well as the founder of Dazzle Publishing. And today, I am so excited to have Jenny G. Perry with me. She is now the best-selling author of a brand new book that came out today. It's called Sex Pot with Stretch Marks, Fierce Musings Along the Way to Self-Love with Sass. And she's going to tell us today about her book and how it came to be and how we came to work together with each other. And if you want more information, I'm just going to tell you, heads up here, go to sexpotwithstretchmarks.com and also on Facebook, Sex Pot with Stretch Marks. So, Jenny, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Welcome, welcome. Congratulations. What a ride this has been, huh?
I know. And you know me. You know, I don't like to be too polished. I like to be real. So people only knew, like, the picture in my house this morning. I got a baby with a poopy diaper on my hip. And I'm, like, you know, typing. And I'm like, okay, like, how can we get to Oprah? How, you know?
Right.
It was really kind of funny. But it's super exciting. And my family keeps me really grounded, where I already know what's important. So this is something where it's a great personal accomplishment, but really, when I was writing it, I really energetically intended blessings throughout the whole entire book so that everyone who read it was uplifted, because I really want to reach as many women as I can to get them to really love all of themselves, not just the good parts.
Right.
And that's not just about your physical, like, oh, I look good with this lighting or I look good with makeup on, but it's like all the aspects of ourselves. Because I know for myself,
yeah,
you know, I could be more organized sometimes, and we have those things that we want to consider flaws, or that we always feel like we have to be working on something. I know, April, you're like me, where when you're somebody who's always trying to improve yourself, it can feel a little stressful, where there's always something that you, you know, want to tweak. So what I did, and I would suggest to other people to do, that I did for the new year, is actually wrote down a list of the things that I wanted to let go of, trying to change about myself. And that was just kind of like, I don't even know what I wrote at this point, but one of it was, you know, trying to be more organized, because I have a million things going on, and it's amazing that I get some of the things done that I do, but I'm not going to be somebody who is always, like, everything is compartmentalized, and I admire those people, that's great, but my creative flow has to be a little messy. And, you know, I told you before, love is messy. I'm okay with a little messy.
Love is a little messy, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, totally.
Well,
let's back up for a second
and tell everybody how this book came to be and what the book is about.
Well, the book came to be where I wanted to take some of my writings that I already had and make it into, like, a compilation book of Facebook writings. But then, I mean, once we started, you know, I came to you and I was like, will you help me with this? Because I had, you know, I don't even know how old Dylan was at the time.
Thousands.
But, you know,
it was like thousands.
I know.
You had, like, thousands of things that we could write.
Yes. But I mean, the baby, I think, was only like 6 months old when I came to you, and I was like, I know this book is in me. They just don't want to start from scratch, because I know that, like, when I wrote the Jennifers, that's something where I have to be in my zone and I have to really tune other people out. Not when I'm editing, but when I'm in the creation part, because I really have to be in my own world. Now, writing a novel is different, but I was like, you know, I have so much great content. Like, I want to do something with it, tweak it. And so I kind of, you know, looked at all that I had and gave it to you and was like, please help me make sense of this. Like, let's, you know, pull some things out. We still have tons more to come, but let's pull some things out that are, you know, awesome, that really speak to us. And I got such good feedback working with you, where you were like, you know, working on it and then would text me back and you're like, I'm loving this. Like, I'm feeling so good. And that was just like, that was so fun for me, because you know, when you're first writing a book, like, there's, I know some people will say they're always confident with their writing, but I think if you're a writer, inherently there's going to be a little bit of that, you know, I want to make it better, or like, I hope this, you know, is okay. I think that's okay. I don't think that that's something that you should avoid. Over, like, being
yeah.
confident all the time, I don't know that that's attainable. I think that there's always going to be, like, a striving. I know for myself, I'm okay with that. I don't feel like that's a weakness.
No,
so,
I think it's normal to have some self-doubt when you're writing.
Yeah, and really, it's like, it's just a matter of whether you say, oh, screw it, I'm just going to keep going, or whether you let it stop you. And I definitely don't
right.
ever let anything stop me. So, but it was great to have, you know, the feedback, and that's why having a book coach is great. It's absolutely great to have a book coach, because you have somebody who, and it's not about somebody telling you, like, this is good if it's crap either, because you need you know, feedback, but you know, somebody who's going to nurture you. I know it's tricky to give
uh-huh.
people feedback on their writing, because you don't ever want to squash, you know, the creativity.
Yeah, you don't want to kill off the creativity, but you do want to, like, sort of guide them. Maybe let's
mm-hmm.
talk more about this or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that
yeah.
was really good about you to do. You had so much content, and actually just organizing it was our biggest obstacle at first.
Mhm. Mhm.
But it was
and
easy
then,
enough. Eventually, it sort of flowed.
Exactly. And then you came up with the idea to, you know, add the pictures in there, and then once
mm-hmm.
that kind of came together, it's fun because it's actually two different books, and I would actually buy both myself if it was me, because I do love the picture aspect. We would love to do a picture book, but how much did it cost to do a book of
yeah.
that? Not that we won't release it at some point, but. Who knows? But the Kindle has pictures, and it's fun. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But also, I'm old-fashioned when it comes to, like, sometimes I like to have a book that I can just thumb through, like, if I'm, you know, if I just want to be, like, at the beach or somewhere. So I can see the benefit
yeah.
of both.
Definitely. So let's just clarify, like, the book is available on Kindle, and it has all these selfie photos that you're, like, you're famous for your selfies. And then
I just had so much
yeah,
fun
your
with them.
Facebook's famous.
I know. Well, did I ever tell you though that one time I saw something about Stevie Nicks? Who doesn't love Stevie Nicks? And sometimes if I'm driving in the car, like, I have my Stevie Nicks moments. Like, I'm wearing, like, velvet or leather jacket, and she comes on the radio, and I'm
mm-hmm.
like, start channeling her. But I remember
uh-huh.
her saying something about her taking Polaroids back in the day, and she would just, like, get all glammed up and take them. And I'm like, see, I like, another one of my kindreds, because I do it because it's fun. So some people, like, you know, in the beginning, I talk about what selfies are, and it's like a verb now, you know? And
it's a
celebration of life, whether I'm taking a selfie or taking a sunset. It's just, like, beauty that I see, and I do see beauty in me, and I see beauty in other women. So that's where it's like,
mm-hmm.
if I can't see beauty in other women, I can't see the beauty in myself. That's just kind of the way I choose to live my life. You know me. I'm like the fiercest, you know, cheerleader. Like, you put a picture up and I said, who's the hot blonde holding my picture? And I complimented you on, like, how I love you in white, and I love you with the white background.
Thanks.
And I really do. Women need to realize that when they lift up other women and that they can see the beauty in other women, that loving energy actually comes through them. So it's like they're not
yeah.
realizing that when they're hating on another woman or they're comparing themselves, it's like toxic, sludgy energy versus light and flowy energy. And it's like it's something actually to practice, where if you see somebody at the store and you see that, like, she has a beautiful scarf, go over and say to her, like, that's a beautiful scarf, and her face will light up. And it's like those little soul connections. That just, like, you have
mm-hmm.
no idea what kind of impact you can make on their life. And even if they don't do anything to impact your life, you're putting that good energy will always come back to you. And that's kind of how
mm-hmm.
I feel about this book, too, is that, like, it's me putting,
yeah.
like, a lot of good energy out there in the world.
Yeah. Well, so the book is available in soft cover as well as on Kindle. The Kindle has all the selfie photos. The soft cover does not, because if we had included all the photos, the book would have been almost $40. So, you know, I suggest everybody buy it in soft cover as well as the Kindle. This way you get the full experience. And the content is so juicy and so empowering. And you know, I was going through a tough time over the summer and in the fall when I was helping you to edit your book. And
mm-hmm.
your words of encouragement and inspiration and empowerment, just, like, you know, it just kicked me out of the dumps and, you know, like, into, like, higher gear as a goddess, you know? Like, you really encouraged me to do that. So here I am being your book coach, but I'm, like, gleaning all kinds of great content, you know, by working on your book.
That's
it was just
so
perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that is
it really
so awesome.
Was. Divine timing is great.
And I think it's the kind of book, too, like that you can also just, like, you know, pick up a chapter here and there, which is cool because, like, we designed that that way, where it's not something that you even have to read from start to finish. It's like, because I like those sometimes, where you just kind of like, well, what chapter do I want to read now, you know, versus, you know, having to read it from start to finish.
Yeah, so talk about where the name Sexpot with Stretch Marks came from. How did you come up with that?
It was a blog for the Huffington Post. I'm actually just writing a Huffington Post as we're talking here. I mean, I've become the queen of multitasking here. But
yeah, I'll bet. With five kids, I'm sure you are.
Well, and I'm lucky because my husband is, like, super helpful when he's not working. He's, like, super, super helpful. But anyway, it came, I think, pretty much from the idea of, first of all, I call myself the silly, sassy, spiritual sexpot because I think that we all have, like, contradictory things about ourselves. Where people will be like, oh, if they're spiritual, they wouldn't curse. Or if they're spiritual, they wouldn't wear, you know, like they wouldn't wear their cleavage. Or just all these things. Or like a mom wouldn't wear, you know, those high of heels. Or all these conditioning things that we say. And I say that whether it comes to your style of dress or, you know, the way you live, like just make it yours. Just make it yours and don't worry about the peanut gallery. Because peanut gallery is often living in fear of living their fullest life. So they project onto you. And so it came from the idea of that I would post a picture of me in a bikini, which if you've ever lost a lot of weight, you're so proud of yourself. And then somebody comes along and is like, well, you got some extra weight to lose or something like that. I know when I lost weight in my 20s, I was working out at this gym, and this one guy was like, you're almost there. And I had lost 50 pounds, and I wanted to punch him in the face. I was like, I can't believe that. It was so disempowering. So I would post a picture of a bikini picture, and somebody would be like, oh, have you heard of the latest cream? And it's like, thank you. Or when people say, you know, well, you look great for your age. Or you look great for having five kids. It's like, that was a backhanded compliment. So I just decided to say, like, you know, why should stretch marks have to take away from that? And I'm not going to hide them because, like, why should I have to hide them? That's just a social conditioning. And so I kind of want to start a revolution where we don't feel like we have to hide our stretch marks or our wrinkles. Because in society now, like, the cover is, like, revolutionary in the way that it's not Photoshopped. And most covers now are so Photoshopped.
Let's just tell everybody, there's a picture of you on the cover of your book in a black bikini on the beach, and you just had a baby, like, what, 6 months before that photo, your fifth child, and she's now a year old. But at the time, she was about 6 months old when you had that bikini shot taken. Mm-hmm. And you're proud of your stretch marks, and I think you look great.
Thank you so much.
Great for somebody who had five children, but great, period, you know. And you're fierce and so fearless to get out there in a bikini and let it be your book cover, and everybody's going to see that. I mean, I get,
I'm trying to empower because, like, it's funny because, like, the beach is, I live at the beach. So I spent a lot of time at the beach, and I used to hate when I was overweight. I always felt like I was being judged. And it's like, no one's even looking at you. Like, don't even worry about it. You know? Like, and I remember, you know, the idea of, like, someone being too big to, you know, wear a bikini or whatever, and how rude that was.
Yeah.
And whenever I see somebody who is not the typical, I want to go up and hug her and just be like, you go, girl. Like, I'm so proud of you. Because there's women that I know that are really thin, and they'll stand next to me, and they're, like, griping about their body. And I use this example all the time. If you have, you know, this woman who's a little bit bigger, you know, standing there owning her bikini, full of life, and then you have her skinny friend next to her who you want to smack because she's like, my pooch, like, you know, and she keeps highlighting this.
Right.
Pooch. By the end of the day, the girl with the pooch, all you see is the pooch. You don't even, like, you're not as attracted to that versus a girl who has a pooch and she doesn't even care, and she's just owning it, but she's, like, full of life. That's really what you want to aim towards, just being full of life instead of looking perfect, because I don't know that, yes, that exists. I've seen it on the beach, believe me. But it's like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and compare myself to somebody else. It's like, that's so sad, because what's good about me that I'm not focusing on when I'm focused on what's good about someone else?
Right. And when you come from that place of emptiness and criticize somebody else, it just reflects on where you are. So if you come from a place of love, that also shows the love that you have for yourself. And you talk a lot about self-love. That's in the tagline of the book. So tell us about your feelings about self-love with sass. Why is it with sass?
Because I think that I like to be sassy. And so it's like the whole language that I do have my own language, and I know that you learned my language, April, in writing it. But that's just the way, as a writer, I love words, and I love looking up what words are, but I also like inventing words and sayings, and I just kind of feel like it's the energy of it. Like, if I hear a new saying, I'm like, oh, my God, that's so awesome. So, like, Vivacity is one of them, you know, one of the things, and that's
Vivacity.
Why I like the chapter titles. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, Vivacity, I think, is your most popular.
Yes. And it's funny because look at, like, selfies, how, like, that's become, you know, mm-hmm. a new thing. And I did one post about selfiebration, and I'll bring that out again, where I wanted everybody to hashtag selfiebration, because it's like there's a lot of women that are still afraid to make their profile post their picture. Because it's like, A, what does that say about them? Well, it says that that's their freaking face. It means that the cat that they put up is not their cat. Which there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want it to be, that's great. But if you're afraid to put your picture up, you have to ask yourself, why am I afraid to put my picture up? Is it because I don't feel like I look good anymore? Well, that's just baloney. And I guarantee that if you put your picture up and you feel good about yourself in the picture, people will pick up on that. And I don't think
they do.
And I don't think that has to expire at, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like yesterday or the day before, I posted a picture of myself. And, you know, there's lots of things that I don't like about myself when I look at myself, of course. But I remembered a conversation that you and I had about, the chapter that you have on She's So Full of Herself. That's a really empowering chapter. And I posted a photo of myself and I wrote, not bad. And I didn't put not bad for 58 or not bad for, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. But I just put not bad, you know. And you said, if you can't be full of yourself, who the hell else are you supposed to be full of? Mm-hmm. Which I thought was just, you are so hilarious sometimes. So if you're not supposed to be full of yourself, who are you supposed to be full of?
I know. Isn't that funny? Well, and the idea.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is, did you ever hear, like, there was an Oprah quote where it was like, I don't know if people said it or she thought it or, like, who does she think she is? And I know that a lot of women, we've had that voice in our head and you're like, who the hell is that saying that to me? You know, where you go to do something. And I started a couple years ago to just, I started a Facebook album that was called Fabulosity. And I was just like, I'm just going to post pictures of myself when I feel good. And I was just like, I don't really care. If people don't like me because I post pictures of myself, how conditional is our friendship? Like, really? And my friendship, some of them changed. But like, my real friends were like, look how cute you look. Like, because they know that if they post a picture like that, I think that way of them. Like, I'm all about fashion. I'm all about, you know, makeup and hair and all that. And so why wouldn't I post pictures of that? The thinking that somebody is full of themselves means that in some way that they are, you know, I define narcissism differently in the book, because it's like that is thinking that you're better than someone else. And how could you ever be better than somebody else? Like, you could have a better, like, baseball score than them, but, like, how could you ever be better in value than someone else? No one's more valuable.
In value, yes.
No one's more valuable in any way. And whenever somebody makes me more valuable than them, I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm stepping down from this podium. Like, do not put me up on this pedestal. Like, do not do that, because it's not fair to you, it's not fair to me. It just sets up a weird dynamic. And if somebody ever thinks that they know more than me or that they're above me, I have to check in. And if it triggers me, then it's my stuff. But if I can laugh at it and just be like, oh, my God, it's so funny that people, like, do that. And it's not about, like, respecting somebody's, like, authority in their job or whatever. There's some people that do you know, do feel like they're, you know, above other people, and that usually comes from a little bit of an, you know, imbalance within them, like, a centeredness.
Yes.
So for me, it's just that whole no comparing, no competition, that's just the place I thrive in. I just so thrive there. You know, the way I am, it's like I want the same good stuff for myself that I want for other people. So with this book, I want other people, like a friend of mine actually is writing a book, which, like, I talked to her about it. I was like, you can write a book. Because I want everybody to believe in whatever their dream is and to really go after it. I'm not special. Like, this is just only available to me. I want this book to empower women to be like, hell yeah, I can do whatever I want. and I'm going to love myself now, not when I get Botox or get liposuction or whatever. Like, you can decide to love yourself literally right now, because, like, why wait?
Exactly. Well, and I love what you wrote in your book about, you know, how what people value in you is not your value. How much mm-hmm. people value you is not your value, on page 161. I love mm-hmm. that chapter. We all need to be reminded of that, that, you know, just because other people are cheering you on doesn't make it true. And it's really, it's how you feel about yourself, because the next day they could also be booing you and, you know, telling you what an idiot you are. So if you believe that, then you're at their mercy. And you can't do that. You've got to own it.
No, and also that, it's never enough. Like,
no,
when we get that, like, temporary boosting from somebody else, it feels good, but then, like, oh, my God, it's, like, gone in a minute. And then we're like, like, you know, how come they don't love me anymore? Like, how come nobody's liking my things or whatever? Like, in the social media age, we have become dependent on, like, I don't look at how many likes I'm going to get with something. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to drive myself crazy. And if I'm going to do that, that means that I am going to decide to make my worth based upon what somebody else thinks, which then I'd have to sit there and think, what do people want to read from me? And while I think you should know your audience, that's great, but, like, don't like, make that define you.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely not the way, you know, not the way to go. So that's just, you know, that's something in the social media age that I think, like, my children are going to have to realize, too, is that, like, the likes and comments, those are great, but make sure you do everything from a place of enjoying yourself, not from the place of getting value from, you know, something like that. Right?
Yeah, and that brings me to the last chapter in your book is To All My Sister Goddesses. I love that chapter, too, where you talk, well, tell everybody that's listening about that chapter. I think it really brings the whole book full circle.
Which one?
Last one about, your sister goddesses and, you know, how they, you know, being like the most wonderful, beautiful person and no competition among other women, no backstabbing, gossip stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that, like I was talking about at the top of this conversation, like, if we can come from the place of that, like, cheering other women on, and making it where, like, try to be, like, the best friend that you possibly can while keeping yourself centered. Like, that's just what I want to see, a revolution in the world. Like, could you imagine if, like, women from now on, like, weren't allowed to gossip about one another, and they literally just told their friend what they liked about them, and they would talk behind their back only what they liked about that person. Like, what kind of a revolution? Because when we get some of this, like, surfacey BS off the table and can just, like, nurture one another, like, then we can actually tackle other things in the world that were more important. I just think women banding together is always, like, that kind of idea that it's a sisterhood. And I do truly believe that every woman on this planet is part of my sisterhood. And coming from that place, it just makes me feel so good, because when good things happen to other women, then I feel like it happens for all of us. And that's the thing, is that when you come from the place, and this is what I want them to get out of this chapter and the whole book and everything, is that when somebody, like, gets a new boyfriend or a new job or something that you wanted, if you feel upset for them, don't beat yourself up, but just realize that there's enough to go around for everybody. And if you feel like, they got my share, you have to just realize that's coming from a place of a lackful universe, like that there's only a certain amount of boyfriends out there in the world or only a certain amount of money. But when you live in an abundant universe, when you come from that place, you realize, like, there's enough for everybody. Like, there's totally enough for everybody. And it feels so good that versus, you know, coming from a place of limitation, like, oh, she got mine. Like, nobody's getting yours. Yours is yours.
And right. So yours is yours. But that which is yours will not go past you.
Exactly. And just, like, just seriously think of, you know, how you can, like, help other women in your life. And that's just, like, you know, I thought about, instead of 10 pounds that you're going to lose this year, like, think of 10 limiting beliefs that you can let go of about yourself, and think about 10 women you could help this year just by, like, cheering them on. It doesn't have to be anything big. Just cheer them on.
Yeah, or do a favor and don't expect anything in return, and just see how your own life improves because of you reaching out and doing that act of kindness, or not even act of kindness, just, like, who you are, like, being in the moment and letting go of the outcome.
Mm-hmm. And really, like, when we do things for people, the worst thing we can do is, like wait for that person to necessarily reciprocate, because that's not always going to happen. Sometimes what happens is that they can't necessarily help us, but somebody else can. So just focus on putting the good energy out there. And then, you know, the energy will come back to you in some way. That's just, to me, that's that feels so much better than worrying about, you know, who exactly returns the favor. Because sometimes people can't. Like, the person that you're helping, they can't financially help you. But somebody else can help you in the way of, you know, introducing you to a new connection or whatever. Just don't count that. I think that's disempowering. You know me, throw the scorecard out. Just don't keep the scorecard.
Yeah.
It never turns out good.
Well, I just wanted to say
that. And don't keep a
scorecard
with yourself either.
Oh, yeah, not with yourself either. Absolutely. Because how can you grow if you're so busy judging yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do have some, your book is doing exceptionally well, faster than we thought it would. Sexpotswithstretchmarks.com, or go on to Amazon or Kindle and type in Jenny G. Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, and you'll find her. She's everywhere right now. And Jenny, I just wanted to read you a couple of reviews on your book. So Katie wrote, every woman I have ever known has had issues with food and body image. All my women friends have thought at one time or another that if only their bodies were, quote, perfect by some external standard of beauty, that they'd be able to handle their lives, enjoy themselves, and that everything would fall miraculously into place. They'd finally love themselves. Jenny G. Perry shows us through her own life with pictures on the Kindle edition that nothing could be further from the truth. Only self-love produces miracles, and that comes through accepting ourselves as awesome no matter what. Read this book. Give this book to your daughters, your best friends, and even your frenemies. If every woman in the world read Sex Pot with Stretch Marks, the beauty myth would be busted finally and forever, and the divine feminine would instantly regain her rightful place. Wow.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. That's
that is so awesome.
And you know what? There's a bunch more just like that on Amazon for your book and your Kindle as well. So congratulations.
I've had so much support. I know. I just want to thank everybody who's been so supportive, like, through the years. They've just been so, they cheer me on and I cheer them on. It's great. This is how you create sisterhoods, is that even if it's online, I mean, the outpouring of love just in messages and texts and phone calls and everything, I'm just like blown away. So please continue to share with your friends.
Right. And people on Facebook that are sharing and stating, you know, buy the book and that kind of thing. And we can just encourage people, go to sexpotwithstretchmarks.com, and you can click on the image there, and it'll take you to the Amazon link directly, or just go to Amazon and type in Jenny G. Perry or Sexpot with Stretch Marks, and you're bound to find it. And so, Jenny, any last words? We've got like a minute left.
I just want to wish everybody their best lives, and that they will really, truly this year decide to love themselves, all of themselves, body, mind, and spirit. Blessings to all.
Okay. Well, I love this book. It's been a privilege working on this book with you. I told you 3 years ago on Instagram that I thought you were fearless. And when I saw you post a photo of yourself in a bikini while you were pregnant, I knew I had to work with you. So I just have loved working with you. You're delightful. And I love this book. It's a great book. I feel so empowered as a woman. And thank you so much for writing it, Jenny. I love you.
I love you too, sweetie. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. And thanks, everyone, for listening. This is April Reynolds for Jenny G. Perry, signing off. Until next time, take care, everyone.